Welcome to Joyful Eating. I'm your host, Jules Clancy, a former food scientist and winemaker turned cookbook author and health coach. I've discovered a simple way to have a joyful relationship with food without sacrificing pleasure or my waistline, and I can help you get there too. Listen on to find out how. Hello, hello, and welcome to Joyful Eating episode number 141. So today we're going to be talking about teamwork and acceptance. But before we get to that, the best bite I had, actually, this is something that was so good, I actually had it for lunch two times in a row. So my latest flavor bomb obsession is tahine. It's like this Mexican combo. Actually, maybe I've told you guys about this in the podcast. But anyway, it's so good. It's worth repeating because it's like just this combo of chili flakes, dehydrated lime, so like lime powder, and salt. And so if you've ever had like salt and vinegar chips, crisps, and you love that like really tangy vinegar thing, like they use like dehydrated acetic acid on that. And so it's got that similar tang, and it's just so refreshing. And then the chili is there. It's not super hot. So it doesn't like overpower things. So you get a bit of freshness during the chili, and then you get this limey zest burst. And then of course there's the salt as well. So it's just so good. And I'm really loving it with a tahini sauce. I just make a sauce of like just tahini and water. And I have this with like kale and poached eggs with the tahini sauce. And so you've got the creaminess, and then you've got the freshness with the lime and the chili. And it's just like, oh my God, it's so good. Anyway, our plan for today is I've actually got something different for you from a usual program. So this is actually an episode I recorded with my coach, Maggie Reyes, on her podcast, the Marriage Life Coach podcast, where I shared my experience of coaching with Maggie and the lessons that I learned from working with her. And really, like, these apply to any relationship. And they were so helpful for me, particularly for, I found it really helpful for my relationship with myself, but also in my parenting as well. So I wanted to introduce you to Maggie if you're not familiar with her work. She is such an amazing coach. And so without further ado, here's my conversation with Maggie, the beautiful Maggie Reyes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. I am so delighted to welcome you back to another really powerful episode of the podcast. Today, I have a very special guest I am so excited to introduce you to. Her name is Jules Clancy. She's a former food scientist and winemaker turned author and health coach. And we're totally going to ask her about food science in just a minute. She tamed her diabetes and PCOS using simple low-carb whole foods. She has turned her own healing into her work on earth, and she helps food lovers simplify eating healthier using 6-ingredient recipes, and I'm sure lots of food science, which is amazing. She creates simple meal plans and also provides personalized coaching to help people eat well and automatically feel good in their clothes, as well as with their plates and what they're putting in their bodies. And Jules is a member of the very first round of the Marriage MBA, and she's going to share a little bit about food science and a little bit about her favorite takeaways and her experiences from marriage coaching. So as you listen to us chat today, I really want to invite you to pick your favorite thing that Jules shares today, take it in, sit with it, and then see what you're going to apply tomorrow. So welcome, Jules. I'm so happy to have you.
Oh, thank you, Maggie. It's so good to be here.
Okay. So first, we need to know, what does a food scientist do? So this is what you did before, because now you will coach people. Yes. But tell us about what you did when you worked in food science. I think it's fascinating.
Right. So I started my career working for Kellogg, like the Kellogg company, in product development. So like developing new cereals and snack products, basically. So that was it. Like that was my job, was to like create new food products.
That is so fun. Did you work on something that we would recognize, whether it's in the US or in Australia? Because I know that's where you're at. Did you work on something that you would say, oh, yes, whenever
that
you
was
see
me.
This?
Well, actually, so yeah. My biggest client, so after a Kellogg, yeah. I ended up working for Arnott's, which is like the biggest cookie company in Australia.
Okay.
So they're owned by Campbell's Soup Company. And so there's these biscuits that we have in Australia, or the cookies we have in Australia, chocolate coated cookies called Tim Tams. Yeah. And Tim like Tams. Yeah, like, so if you have ever, like, any Australian ask them about Tim Tams, like, everyone loves them. Like, they're like, you know, two layers of biscuit with this cream in the middle. Have you ever had them?
I have heard Hugh Jackman, who I love, talk about Tim Tams.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so you worked on Tim Tams?
Yes, I worked on Tim Tams, and my last job at Arnott's, like my last project I worked on at Arnott's, was to develop the white chocolate Tim Tams. So
this is so exciting. So for everyone listening, like, on my bucket list now is A, go to Australia. Yeah, B, absolutely. Go directly to the grocery store, buy some Tim Tams.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Yeah. Yeah. But actually the dark chocolate ones, I worked on them, them as well. And but we didn't actually finish that project before I'd left. But they're actually better than the white ones. So
okay, good to know. We'll have to do a taste test.
Yeah.
Do the dark chocolate. So if anyone is listening to us in Australia, when you see Tim Tams, Jules was in the Tim Tams creation, part of the creation. Okay, so tell us now a little bit about what you do now. So you make these amazing meal plans, and I just want people to understand a little bit that food science that you brought to the Tim Tams, how you bring that now to healthy eating.
Oh, right. Well, so part of food science is, like, of course, nutrition. So that like, having studied that, I bring that with me. But also just because I really understand the what goes into flavor and how to make things taste good, I'm able to use that to, like, really simplify cooking so that we're, like, it still tastes amazing, but it's got the bare minimum number of steps and the bare minimum number of ingredients, basically. So
I love that.
Yeah.
What's one of your favorite staples? Like, one of your favorite 6-ingredient recipes? What's one that you just go to
all the time? Like, if it was me cooking for myself, it's either, like, some sort of omelette or scrambled eggs. Actually, I've just been working on a new recipe. It's like eggs, like you scrambled egg, like get some frozen spinach, defrost it, and then you just, like, scramble eggs in the pan with the frozen spinach and then season with salt, or you can add cheese or whatever to it. But that's, like, and you get this, like, creamy, like, eggy cheese, like, but it's spinachy as well. So that's one of my favorites. Oh, no, I also really love veggie bowls. So, like, I love, like, just, you know, chopping up broccoli, just quickly steaming it, and then, you know, serving that with some protein and a really delicious sauce.
So good. So we're going to definitely link to Jules's Instagram so you can all check out what she talks about with her recipes and her meal plan. Definitely. So we'll link to that in the show notes. And the name of your company is called Stone Soup?
Yes, Yeah, it is.
Okay, so Stone Soup. Okay, so everyone, remember in the show notes, we'll link to Stone Soup, which is Jules's company, simple meal plans, 6-ingredient recipes. If you listen to the podcast for a while, you know I don't cook, but I think even I could make that, which is very exciting, which is awesome. So tell us a little bit about why you decided to join the Marriage MBA. Walk us through that a little bit.
Well, I think I've been listening to the podcast, Maggie, for a while, because I met you when I was doing the 200K Mastermind with Stacey. And so I'm a huge fan of your work. And I just had this moment where I was just realized, because I was thinking about investing in business coaching again. And then I just realized that actually, you know, business was doing okay, but the thing that was causing me the most grief in my life, or the most, was like my marriage. And it just wasn't where I wanted it to be. It wasn't like, you know, we're headed for divorce or anything, but I wasn't showing up in my marriage the way that I knew I could be. And I just, like, listening to your podcast, I was like, I know Maggie can help me get there. So yeah.
I love that. Yeah. That's so good. So a couple of things. So Jules mentioned my business coach's name is Stacey Bayman. I love her so much. I will link to her site in the show notes just in case a lot of people listen to my podcast that are coaches and a lot of people listen to the podcast that aren't coaches. Yes. But if you are a coach, you definitely want to check out Stacey's work. She's amazing. Yeah. And one of the things that you said was that it wasn't awful, but it wasn't great. And I want to really speak to that, because a lot of people listen to the podcast. Obviously, if you're listening to a marriage podcast, you want your relationship to be amazing. But so many people, I think, hesitate to get help because they think, well, it's kind of fine. It's okay. It's not that bad. You know, whereas it's this moment of realization that, oh, but what if it could be a little bit better? What's the effect in my whole life if I don't have this sort of low-grade worry about my marriage? So do you have any thoughts to share about that?
Oh, absolutely. And that was exactly me, Maggie. Like, yeah. And the thing is that investing in coaching with you has helped all the areas in my life. Like, so of course my marriage is much better, but it's helped my parenting. It's helped how I'm showing up in my business. Like, I've learned things from you that have applied to, like, you grow, like, when you do something like this, like, you grow as a person. And so of course it's like, it affects everything. Like, so you really, yeah, like, it's such a powerful thing to do.
I love that so much. What is one way that it has affected your parenting? I'm so curious. As I am not a mom, but I know a lot of moms listen to us. What is one thing that you sort of approach differently now as a mom?
Oh, well, definitely just, you know, the way that we work together as a team. So that's one of your core teachings. And but we've actually found, like, that we've applied that so the whole family works as a team. So when we have a problem, like, you know, for example, like, you know, it's the bath time and the boys aren't wanting to go to the bath when they should be going to the bath, kind of thing, rather than, you know, and like getting angry at them or whatever, we all, like, we'll, you know, first calm everyone down, get them talking, but then we work together as a team, go, hey, well, what's going on here? And then, you know, what can we do about this to make it better? Like, how can we fix it and do it better next time? So it's like involving them in the process. And my boys are like 5 and almost 8. So they're kind of at that age where they can have discussions, and but also,
right.
And it's helping them see things from some. So we're kind of teaching them empathy, like getting them to see, okay, so, you know, Dada isn't just being, you know, yelling at you because he's, you know, being this crazy person. He's got, you know, just so helping them see from our perspective, and
right.
us see, and also
them,
and also like us seeing, like, just take having that discussion helps us see things from their perspective as well. So it just, yeah, it's just everything's like so much better because of that. Like, the dynamic is much better, and it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, you know, when we get into the teenage years, I think.
Yeah, imagine establishing a really strong team when they're 6 and 8, and then 10 years from now when they're 16 and 18.
Yeah, or 14 and 15. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like compound interest, having that accrue over time where they'll still have the rebellious part of them, but there'll be such a core like unit as a team, right? That even in that rebellious phase, they're still like, they assume positive intent. They know that you care about them. They have more empathy for you as a human and not just as their parents, right, as well.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and I think also, like, we're opening up that those lines of communication where we're already listening to them and seeing things from their perspective. So when they're in that those teenage years, my hope is that we're able to continue that so that we can understand what's going on. And I think of a lot of that rebellion stuff just comes from not being understood.
That's so powerful. Yeah, it's like if you have that place where they can go and they can say, this is what's happening, and they feel safe enough to open up and share that, it's like you eliminate half the problems. You'll still have some other adventures for sure, but you eliminate
half
of them. Yeah, so beautiful. Yeah. So we will link in the show notes to a podcast episode called Team versus Alliance. That's one of the concepts that I teach in the Marriage MBA.
That's one of my favorites too.
Yeah. And if you want to hear like what our approach to it is in the program, that podcast will give you the whole overview. And then we spend 6 months cultivating team. What does team look like? How, if you were a team, and for so many questions that come up in the coaching, it's like, well, if you were approaching it as a team, how would you think about it? As opposed to just approaching it from our own personal concerns. We want to add like the layer of looking at it through the lens of team. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that. So what were some of your favorite either concepts or takeaways from the coaching experience?
Well, I think the thing that helped me change the most was acceptance. Like and that was the thing that we worked on first, Maggie. Yeah. That was huge for me. And it's really interesting because like before this, I started the coaching, like I used to, like I'm a really, you know, laid back, relaxed person, right? But I used to get really angry with my husband a lot, like, and feel a lot of like anger and resentment towards him over really stupid little things, like, and like, you know, he would screw his nose up if I cooked something and, you know, cauliflower, and he would like screw his nose up at it, and I would just get so angry, like I'd be calm and then all of a sudden really angry. And so it was, I don't know, kind of, I still don't really understand why, but just working on acceptance and just accepting things, like, okay, so just like accepting that, you know, he's not excited about the cauliflower as I am,
right,
just helped me like not escalate, not like just help me stay calm.
Yeah.
And see it for, this isn't a big deal.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. So I love that. So everybody listening, everyone has their own version of cauliflower, right? I always joke that I've coached on like how the dishwasher is loaded, how we do our laundry, you know, where the shoes go when you walk into the house. Like there's always those little things. And for me, it was the towels. It was how the towels were hung. We all have our little things.
You're always talking about the towels, man.
Right. That was such a seminal, like pivotal moment for me because the towels were sort of like in disarray. And I looked at the towels and I thought, well, I can either be upset that they're in disarray or I can just straighten them because I'm the one who wants them straightened.
Who cares about the towels?
And then who cares about the towels? Like, I know my husband would move heaven and earth for me. Like, how important do I want this to be? Right. How big of a deal do I want to make for this? And one of the things I saw for myself and that I always, you know, talk about on the podcast and talk about in the program is we often treat everything as if it was urgent with the same sense of urgency. So the towels and the cauliflower and the dishes or whatever it is, we treat them as if it was a major issue in the relationship. And one of the things I invite everyone to think about instead of on-off switches is to think about a spectrum, or if it's a light in a room, imagine a dimmer that can be softer or stronger versus an on-off switch. And so one of the things that Jules was saying is like, well, how upset do I want to get about that? How important is this? And that just that moment of how important do I want to make this, you can notice that you have the power to make it more important or less important. And then decide. And some things are really important and we do want to make a big deal about them. And I want to also convey that too, that maybe one day the cauliflower will be very important and there's space for that, but we're choosing it, right?
Yes. Yeah exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
so good. So acceptance, so powerful, so important, always like a go-to thing. We have a podcast episode called Using Acceptance to Make Your Marriage Stronger, and we'll link to that in the show notes as well if you want to really have a deep dive in that. What else? What was one of your other favorite things or fun moments or just aha moment from the coaching?
Not necessarily a fun thing, but another big concept that really helped me was just compassion and learning to like, just, you know, remember that we're all doing the best that we can. And I found that like having compassion for myself as well as for my husband was really, really helpful in, because like, so my husband and I, like I used to be a winemaker, like, you know, alcohol, I used to be a big drinker, and I've gone on a bit of a journey to like where I hardly don't drink very much at all, but he hasn't been on that journey with me. And so, yeah, just having like learning about compassion so that he doesn't have to be in the same place as me. And I can like, I guess it's acceptance and compassion together, just being like
together. Yeah.
Just being more understanding of his situation has really helped as well. Like it's taken away, like, you know, I used to have a lot of judgment and stuff about his choices. And now I don't, like it's, I'm really completely happy for him to live his life the way that he wants to. And, you know, it's so much more harmonious.
That's so powerful. So with compassion, one of the things you said is you have more compassion for yourself.
Yes.
And I think we forget that a little bit. We work on our relationships and we think about how we want to approach the other person. And of course, that's so important and such a big focus of what we do. But how we approach ourselves with compassion, it's like if we have no patience for ourselves, it's very unlikely we'll have patience for others.
Yeah.
Can you share a little bit about that journey with compassion with yourself? Like what became available to you, or what did you discover when you just practiced having more compassion, more loving kindness, more forgiveness for yourself?
I think the biggest thing with that, Maggie, is it just makes the judgment melt away. Because what would happen is like I'd judge him and then I judge myself for judging him, and like it was just piling on this like negative emotion, negative kind of thought spiral. Whereas when I like know when I would notice, if I would judge him, then I would notice it and go, oh, hang on, like I'm doing, like, hang on, I'm doing, it's okay, I'm doing the best that I can, and he's doing the best that he can. It just calmed it all down and kind of just made it melt away. And it didn't, then it didn't, like, it kind of didn't matter that I'd had a judgmental thought. It didn't make it mean anything about, it was just like, okay, I've had that thought, and so we're all doing as best we can. Let's just move on so we don't get bogged down in it.
I love that so much. It's like, it sounds deceptively simple, just the thought we're all doing the best we can. But when you really live into that day in and day out and day in and day out and come back to it over and over again and come back to it when you're frustrated with yourself or when you're frustrated with your partner or when you're frustrated with your kids, if you have kids, and you're just like, oh, we're all just doing the best we can. So much peace and so much love and so much power just from that simple thought. It's amazing. So good.
Yeah.
What else? What else do you want to share about?
Yeah, so another thing that really I found great was just because I did, like, invested in my marriage and, like, you know, 6 months of just doing work on it, and that you really encouraged us to, like, to prioritize, like, that taking that action helped me prioritize marriage in terms of, like, the time that I was spending on it, and also, like, the idea of, like, cultivating friendship and actually prioritizing time for connection was really, really powerful. So, you know, because it's easy to be all caught up in our busyness and stuff. So we've now got a habit of, you know, after the boys go to bed, like, we sit on the couch and have a chat with, tea or whatever. And sometimes it might be 5 minutes, like, but sometimes it might be half an hour. And we just, and I think one of, like, your question of, like, how was your day? Like, we just kind of check in with how was your day. Yeah. And it's such a little thing, but then you really, like, I just feel like that's helped us reconnect on a much deeper level. And it's been really great. And also, you know, making the time where we've actually prioritize going out on dates, like, we go out for lunch together, like, when the boys are at school, kind of thing, so that we have some adult time together.
And
that's been really fun as well, to, like, have that reconnection and remember that we are, we're a couple, we're not just parents, kind of thing, and bring the fun into it.
Yeah, that's so good. Okay, you said so many, like, juicy tidbits there. I want to pull them out. So first is, we're a couple. We're not just parents. Like, everyone who's a parent right now, take a moment and remember forever, we are a couple. We are not just parents, because the kids will move away. The kids will have their own lives. And then we're a couple. We're not just parents. What is our unit together as a couple? That's so huge. And then one of the things that I see so often in, when people come to me and they want help in their relationships, and I ask, you know, questions about what's going on and how are things going, and when people feel really disconnected emotionally, they're often disconnected, what is the word, temporally, like, in time, right? Yes. Like, they're not actually spending time together. And so one of the first places we look is, like, wait, when do you actually see each other? How often do you actually share in just time, regardless of the activity that you're doing together? And it sounds, again, it sounds deceptively simple, and something that I love all the examples that Jules is sharing, because this program and marriage coaching and any work on your marriage is really small, tiny tweaks. Mm. It's not about sweeping gestures. It's not about, you know, whisking your partner away to Bali or something like that. It's about, let's have lunch on Thursday. Let's talk for 5 minutes and have some tea and a Tim Tam if you're in Australia, right? It's about those little moments, and those little moments compounded over time is what creates much and much more connection in your relationship.
Yeah. So yeah. And we're really both feeling that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I love that. What was something that, you know, sometimes coaching can be confronting, or we discover something about ourselves that feels a little unsettling, or that feels, Yeah, I think unsettling is a word that I would use. And I always want to normalize when we talk about, oh, I had this amazing result and it was so good and it feels amazing, that the way you get there is, oh, I had to realize I wasn't being nice to myself and I had to realize we weren't spending any time together. And that in the moment that you realize it can feel a little unsettling or a little wobbly. So what is something that you just want everyone listening to know that it was hard in the moment, but it was worth it in the end to have both the discovery and then the outcome of working through it?
Yeah. Okay. The thing that comes to mind for that, Maggie, is just the, like the self, the, like the judgment of like how, and like, you know, yeah. I have been, you know, one of those people that's like hard on myself, have high standards. And I've also been applying that to my husband. And so, yeah, just realizing that that is what I was doing was a bit hard, but it felt really good to like just name it and acknowledge it. And just even just acknowledging that that's what I had been doing just helped it like melt away, kind of thing. And yeah.
So I love that naming it and acknowledging it helped it melt away. I think that happens so often. Once we have awareness of it, just the awareness dissipates some of the energetic charge.
Yeah, definitely.
That's so good. What else? Anything else that you want to add?
Not quite.
If there's anything that I haven't, usually we talk a little bit before we start the recording, and I just wanted to check, is there anything that I missed that you want to add? And then I want to definitely ask you a question from the question for couples.
Okay. So I guess the other big thing that I learned from you, Maggie, which wasn't necessarily like a marriage thing, was just, it was something that you posted in the Facebook group around having permission to be seen and how you, you know, had the bit of, you've recently given yourself permission to be seen. And so that was, I just like took on that idea and I was like, wow, because I realized that in my life, like, you know, I'm a big introvert and I think that I'd been showing up in a not being, having, giving myself permission to be seen. So I've really taken that on and just in any interactions, like even like, you know, I went to my Pilates class yesterday and I just realized that in the past I used to like kind of be the quiet one. And so I've just been like engaging with everyone a lot more. And it's just a what much more fun way to live in the world, Maggie. So it's like, thank you.
Yeah.
Like I really.
You're welcome.
It's like having a few laughs with the other people that are doing the class. Like it's just, it's a nicer way to be like, and it, I actually do want to be seen, but I don't know why I'd been holding back. So it was really fun.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. So one of the things I try to do in the group or whether we're coaching live or I'm sharing in the Facebook group is I share a little bit about whatever I'm working on at that moment. And I was working on really allowing myself to, you know, really promote the podcast powerfully and do a bunch of things to just promote my work in a different level. And I was just sort of sharing a little bit about that. And I think it's so important to normalize as a person who's a coach or leading a container, we're doing our own work. Like I don't live in a magic mountain where I have no problems. Like I also have moments where I'm not compassionate as I could be. And I have to work on that, whether it's with myself or with a family member or something like that. And I think normalizing that inside coaching programs and coaching containers is just so important that no one lives on a magic mountain. Like that's a value that I hold very dear. And I'm so happy that just in that sharing, you were able to take that and just run with it and make it your own, which is another thing that I think is so important, both on the podcast and in the program, is whatever I'm sharing, take it and make it your own. What's your version of that? For like, I don't do Pilates, but Jules took it to Pilates, right? And made it her own there. It's so beautiful. It's so powerful. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. The other thing I really loved was like the group dynamic of working with other women on this thing. Like that was, I found it. So even though like I was in Australia, so the time zone, I wasn't able to attend the live calls, just being part of the Facebook group, it was really beautiful to, and I like just, it's really helpful, so helpful to be seeing other people and how, what they're struggling on and how you would help them. And like that, that whole thing of sometimes someone else being coached, you actually get more from that than having yourself coached, because you're not in that high emotional state around it. Like, but you're able to take the lessons and the gems from it. So yeah, I really loved the group dynamic. And I also just love the way that you are so caring, Maggie, and so like gentle with our hearts, that like, you know, it's a really safe space to work on some, you know, really deep stuff. So I think like,
thank you for mentioning that. It's so important to me to really maintain that balance of like, sometimes coaching can feel so confronting, but we can be gentle in how we approach this thing that feels hard, right? And that's really important to me. So I'm so glad you mentioned that. And I think something that is so important also is when we have a struggle in a relationship, we often think we're the only one who has that problem. We often think we're the only one who thinks that way or is suffering in that way. And one of the reasons that I love having this group container is you start seeing, oh, the circumstances or the details might be different, but they're struggling through a similar thing and this other person is struggling through a similar thing. And the just the feeling as a human on earth of I am not alone, to me, is gives so much peace and so much permission and so much release. Like, it's okay. Let's figure it out together. So I love that you mentioned that.
Thank you, Maggie.
So good. So good. So one of my favorite things to do is to pull out a question from the Questions for Couples journal and just have fun with it. So here is today's question. What is a place you've been to without your partner? So your partner hasn't been there with you, that you would love to take them to?
All right, so that's really easy, Maggie. So my partner hasn't been to Japan yet, so I would love to take him to Tokyo and to and Kyoto and, like, you know, catch the bullet train with him and go to all the amazing restaurants together.
Oh, that's so fun. And what is one of your favorite things in Japan? Like, do you have any favorite spots or favorite places that you've been to that you would just love to see again?
Yeah, Kyoto and Tokyo are my favorites. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
I just love, like, you know, there'll be love like it. These little restaurants that are just like, it's only like they only do like chicken skewers. Like, that's the only thing that you can get in the whole restaurant.
Right.
Like, it's very specialized. Yeah. So. Yeah, their food culture is amazing.
Right. They only do them, but they do them
like the best
right?
in the world. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so good. I love that. So tell everyone how they can find you. What are the best places to follow you online? Like, if people want to know more about your simple recipes and your food science, how can they find out more?
Yes. Yes. So yeah, my blog is thestonesoup.com. So come over there, and I've got a free cookbook called 6 Ingredients, 20 Minutes. So people can go and get a copy of that. And I've also just started a podcast, Maggie, a few weeks ago, and it's called Joyful Eating.
Ooh.
So if anyone's interested in, like having a healthier relationship with food, definitely come and check that out, like without dieting and all that sort of stuff. So I help like food lovers find that balance between eating for health and eating for pleasure. So that's really good. And I'm also on Instagram.
Okay. So the podcast is called Joyful Eating.
Yes.
Definitely. We will link to that in the show notes. Love it. So excited. I love everything about that. It's just the balance of enjoying, right? The nutrition and the joy of the food, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so good. And then there must be a story, so I have to ask, the stone soup. Why is it called the stone soup? What's the story behind the scenes there? Yeah.
Right. So when I was really little, so there was this kids' TV show in Australia. So this is when I would have been like, you know, 4 or something. And we watched the episode. And on that, they read this story. Like, there's this European folk story called Stone Soup and it's all about, you know, a traveler comes to town and he brings this stone and he like gets the community to come together because he's like got this stone to make soup out of, and they literally make soup. But it'd be better if we had some onions. So he gets like all the town to like, you know, contribute to the soup basically. And so like, it's just like kind of, you know, deeper metaphor for whatever. And, but I was like four and I was like, oh, I can make soup out of a stone. Awesome. So I said to my mom, hey, mom, can we make soup? And she was like, yeah, okay. And so we went and got a stone from the river and we made soup. Anyway, that's my first thing I ever remembered cooking. So when it came time to like, what was I going to call it? Yeah, that's why I called it stone soup.
That is so beautiful. Okay. So stone soup, you start with where you are with what you have. If all you have is a stone, you start with that. And then you recruit the community, right? It's like, oh, it would be great if we had an onion. It would be great if we had a pepper or a cucumber.
Yeah, has anyone got any bacon? Broth, right?
Yeah, exactly, right? And like, let's think about that in our marriages, right? It's like, let's just pick up a stone and start adding, you know, hey, it would be great if we had a date. It would be great if we could laugh about this. It would be great if we just made a stone soup. To me, it's like a symbol. I love this so much. It's start where you are with what you have. And if all you have is a stone, then start with that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, there you go. Stone soup for marriage as well, Maggie. I love it.
I love it so much. Thank you so much for being here, for saying yes to sharing a little bit about your experience. It's just a pleasure and an honor. And I'm just so delighted. Thank you so much, Jules.
Oh, my pleasure. And if anyone's listening that has been listening to the podcast a lot, that was me, like every Monday, I'm like listening to Maggie and you're like been thinking about like working with Maggie, I like can't recommend it enough. Like it's so, so worth it. Like she's such a beautiful person. So definitely, and it's such a different experience to just listening to the podcast. Like it really takes the work so much deeper. And I've just got so many more results from actually doing the work rather than just consuming the podcast.
So if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you follow Maggie. So she has a link to it in the show notes, but you can either go to maggiereyes.com and check out, she's got like a free training thing you can do, or definitely check out her podcast, which is the Marriage Life Coach podcast, which I linked to that in the show notes as well. Okay, have a beautiful week and I'll catch you next week. Bye.
Before you go, this is the best part. So if you enjoyed Joyful Eating, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. And I'd love to send you a copy of my free recipe app, Stone Soup, 6 Ingredients, 20 Minutes. It's full of hundreds of easy whole food recipes, so delicious, they'll satisfy even the biggest food snob. It's the perfect little resource to have right on your phone for those inevitable times when you're in the supermarket thinking, wow, what am I doing for dinner? It's available for both iOS and Android, and I add new recipes every week, so it's a really great resource to get for free. See the link in the show notes, or if you just Google Stone Soup and click on the free recipe app page, that'll give you the details of how to grab your free copy.